All right. Welcome to the first episode of Going There with Degrassi. I am one of your hosts, Ricky Z.
And hey, I'm Robin.
Yay. I'm really excited about this adventure. One thing that I'm really excited about is we're not going to do the typical go over each and every episode, like episode by episode, like some other podcasts might be doing, but which they're still great. It's fun to like kind of see the progression of things, but I would like to really go into like the big topics that Degrassi did and were kind of like ahead of its time as a teen show.
Oh, it was so ahead of its time. Like, I've been watching Degrassi Junior High for this particular episode, and it is surprisingly progressive.
Yes. What's been really great about this is looking at this in hindsight. So Robin and I are both 32, right?
Yes, I'm 32.
Yes. Yeah, so like we're both 32. And so, but like we've literally grown up with these characters. And so like one of the nice things about Degrassi is that their teen characters were actual teens. So if they had a 14-year-old, that character was 14. And so when you think back about like Emma, Manny, Toby, JT, like we are the same age as those characters, as yeah, well as those actors. Right. We actually literally did graduated at the same time as them. You know, JT would be our age now. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, JT. York.
Right. So for our first episode, we're going to talk about teen moms in Degrassi. And of course, you can't talk about teen moms without going back to the beginning with the feminist icon we didn't know that we needed, Spike.
Yes, Christine Spike Nelson with the best hair I have ever seen in my entire life. It yes. is intense.
Absolutely. So let's start with Spike.
Oh yeah. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Spike because I went back and I watched some of Degrassi Junior High. I we just said, like we grew up with like the next generation. So I didn't really watch Degrassi Junior High or Degrassi High as a kid, because like obviously as growing up in like rural Georgia, we weren't getting CTV all the time. Degrassi was kind of introduced to me on the N.
Yeah.
And that's where we got that beautiful slogan with Degrassi.
It goes there. Yes.
It was so dramatic. They would show like the most dramatic shots of things that weren't even from the show. And like be like, it goes there.
It really did though.
It's like there are times when the show is like super cheesy, but it is actually like covering like a really important topic.
Yes.
Notwithstanding the whole Pringles can plot line, which is forever and always my favorite, most pointless thing I've ever seen in my life. They did do a good B story in those early seasons.
Yes, they did.
All right, so the reason we wanted to talk about Spike is mostly because she is kind of the bridge between Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High and the next generation. And I actually like have some fun facts about her too that I did some fun research about this plot line last night. But I'm just going to go over kind of what happens when she gets pregnant and how the characters sort of react to Spike's pregnancy. Also, I really want to talk about her representation as a teen mom who is no longer a teenager in the next generation, because obviously I'm way more familiar with that than I am with these ones that I've sort of crammed in the last few days. So we first sort of get this plot line introduced to us at a party that Lucy is throwing. And I really wish we had more Lucy on the next generation. I think we've been like one or two episodes.
I think from that first season. And then I think when Spike and Snake get married.
She's like a bridesmaid in the wedding. I love those episodes. The wedding episodes are adorable.
Yes, I love it.
Emma's absolutely crazy hair is so reminiscent of her mother.
Well, and she was like, she was absolutely crazy in those episodes too. Just, you know.
Bonkers.
Just completely could not get over herself. But continue.
That is just Emma. Emma is the real villain of the entire show. I love her so much, but like, God, Emma, pull yourself together.
Popular opinion.
It's like Emma and Ashley, I think, are the most hated characters on Degrassi, the Next Generation. Honestly, yes. Who weren't meant to be villains, because we all know that everybody hates Derek.
Yes, 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 they do. Yes, it is.
They were clearly like meant to be protagonists of those two. Ooh, all right. So Lucy is having a party and Spike really likes Shane. And we literally don't get very much exposition as to why they go back in the room together. They just are like, we're going back in room. And the episode title, I literally wrote on my notes right here. It says, it is so weirdly written and awkward. They just sort of disappear into the room. And it's true. And it's just like, we don't really see any build up to this. We don't see, like, it's just like, yeah, they went in the room. They clearly are banging.
And I guess that's kind of the awkwardness of like being that young, because she was,
yeah, that is true. Like,
pretty young, and then to be going that far with someone.
One thing I will say about Degrassi that like I never found relatable when I was watching it as a child is that like I did not even like consider having sex in high school. Like, I was just so like, no. And maybe that's the rural Georgia in me coming out, but like, I was I'm not doing that. And I feel like these Canadian teens were just like going at it all the time.
Not this suburban harlot, I can tell you that.
It wasn't me, it wasn't for me. I didn't even consider it. Like, I definitely graduated with this virginity intact.
God bless you for that.
All right, so it really just kind of cuts again, because I did take some stream of consciousness notes and then I tried to like put them together into something that was over. Because a lot of my notes are like, what is going on? Huh? What? But we get to see her go to the pharmacy with her friends to buy a pregnancy test. And I swear to God, it looks exactly like the same set where JT works later in the Next Generation.
You might need to figure that out. Like, I was like,
is this the same pharmacy? Like, did it not update in 20 years? Apparently nope. not. Nope. Oh, I guess 15 years, because this was JT and Emma were the same age. So that makes sense. They do like talk about the two tests that she has options to buy. And they both are like, this one takes 3 hours and this one takes 2. And I was shook.
Wow.
That's a 3-minute test.
Right. Like, good grief. Like, you can literally sit in like 5 minutes and you know.
Y'all, I have clinical anxiety. I cannot wait 3 hours to know. No. Yeah, but okay. So that kind of shook me, just like as something from the 80s. Like, I really totally understand that, like, obviously we have better technology for this stuff nowadays.
Goodness.
I know, because like I always say that a pregnancy test is the best peace of mind that money can buy. Really. Okay, so we get like she goes and she buys the pregnancy test. It takes 2 hours, and I said, dang, God bless our rapid testing these days. But there's a scene where she gets home, and it reminds me of a scene later in The Next Generation as well. She gets home and she has the pregnancy test with her. And what I didn't know about the series is that like Spike's mom was also a teenage mother and also a hairdresser.
What?
I know. Really? I was like, Spike literally like becomes her mother, which is kind of wild.
That is very wild.
Yeah, but it's like never portrayed in a bad way that she becomes her mother either, because like that's always like the thing. It's like, I don't want to be my mom.
Right. But,
like, I mean, her mom is cool.
And considering how Spike turns out later on in life, I feel like she did pretty fine.
I love Spike so much. Like, I get so grumpy like after Emma leaves and we don't get to see Spike anymore. Like,
yeah,
we still have Snake, but we don't get Spike, and I'm like, I really loved their family. I did read something about how like the next season of Next Class before it got canceled, and this is me on a tangent, I'm sorry, but like, before it got canceled, they were going to introduce Baby Jack as a character at Degrassi High. He was going to be a freshman.
Yeah, that would have been nice to see it. Like, there's a couple of some of the siblings that we see throughout the series that should have popped up eventually, and so it would have been nice to see those.
We also have disappearing siblings like Kendra. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
Right.
Down the black hole.
Right. She went to the void. And like, it was never mentioned again.
Doesn't even come to the wedding.
Right. That's what I never understand too. Like, Spike, not Spike, Spinner is clearly there still. And like, we never hear from her again.
And I'm pretty sure it's the same actress who plays his mom. So I don't know why they couldn't get Kendra there for like one episode. I mean, I guess it would probably be a filming like scheduling problem. But maybe. I was like, we just never hear about her ever again. Well, Darcy also disappears. Yeah. At least they told us that she went to Kenya.
Just of all places.
Returned. Her sister full-on has cancer and she just doesn't come back from Kenya.
That's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother episode.
Track myself back. So like Spike comes home and she has the pregnancy test with her, and her mom is kind of like, what do you have? Like, what are you carrying? And she like freaks out and literally like runs away from her mom and like throws herself onto her bed in her room. And she's like, you don't know what it's like to be 14, which is hilarious because in the very first episode, when Spike is arguing with Emma, she says something like, of the next generation, I mean, like she says something like, you don't know what it's like to be 12. And like, I remember feeling this way as a kid, you know what I mean? Like that my right. parents had no idea what it was like to be a teenager. But like, obviously they do, in order to be in their 40s, they had to have at one point been teenagers.
Right. And you know, eventually we all grow up and think like, oh yeah, my parents were totally right about this thing. What was I thinking?
Exactly. But no, her mom is like so cool about it. Like she's so super supportive. And I literally wrote like, her mom is actually incredible. Right. Like, and she literally hooks Spike up with a gynecologist and is like, I really love this doctor. I want you to go talk to her, and like whatever you decide to do is like, that's up to you. And I think part of that is because we know that at this point, now I know that Spike's mom herself was a teenage mother. Mm-hmm. So she kind of knows how to like what she would have wanted at the time that she was going through something like this. So I think that was kind of pretty cool actually. And then they have like a really sweet conversation where like Spike's in the car with her and she says something like, I wanted him to like me. And then she says, and I didn't like it very much. And her mom like literally outright explains it, like a lot of women don't enjoy sex the first time. Right. And I was like, she's just really forward thinking for a teenage show.
In the 80s, yeah.
I was like, this is the 1980s. Like, this is before I was born.
Right.
Like, oh gosh, I literally wrote, this mom is so supportive multiple times in my notes.
Right.
Like, I love this.
I think Degrassi like does a really good job about showing that there are like supportive mothers when it comes to, you know, teen pregnancy. So we have Spike's mom, mm-hmm. and then also Spike herself. So eventually we'll talk about this in another episode, but like when Manny found out that she was mm-hmm. pregnant, Spike was the first person she went to.
Yeah, I love that.
She was scared of what her parents would say, but come to find out, her mom was also very supportive of her decisions too.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Manny's relationship with her mom,
right? Which we know was Manny's parents and how strict the family was. You would have thought mom would have been the complete opposite. So mm-hmm. it was nice to see supportive parents or understanding parents and parents that could understand like my child needs some advice and mm-hmm. help right now, not me. Oh, it's like recommending them.
Spike doesn't even like hesitate to put Emma in her place when she's being like awful to Manny.
Right.
Like, Spike is like, no, it's her body. No, absolutely not. Like,
right.
I'm like, God bless you.
Thank you, feminist icon.
yeah. Like, there's a lot of, like, conversation around, like, after, like, she goes in, she finds out that she is pregnant, and then, like, this is obviously prior to Shane dropping acid and jumping off, being pushed off a bridge. Like, I'm telling you that Degrassi Junior High was wild.
It was.
And everything happens, like, very, very quickly on this show. So, like, they do have, like, some really great conversations about, like, how it's not just her responsibility, too.
Right.
And like literally like she asks, she goes, if I am pregnant, it's his baby too, right? And like I really love that because a lot of the times, like especially in like older media, mm-hmm. you see like the girl gets blamed a lot. And you even see that like with Craig and Manny later, is that like people like literally like shut Manny out and like completely slut shame her, but it's Craig's the one who cheated on Ashley.
Right.
So like I like them to just like literally, that they're just like actually holding Shane accountable in a way with the writing at the very least. Like, yes. Like, wait. And there's like a point that they're in the bathroom, like the boys are all in the bathroom, and Joey Jeremiah says something to him about it. He's like, no, like it's also your baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I love seeing baby Joey. He's so little.
With his hat.
He's got his little fedora and he's just goofy as all get out.
You just made me just think of something. Like, what would have happened if Joey knew about Manny and Craig?
Oh yeah,
I was like, if now that you mentioned that, I'm like,
at that point, Joey was Craig's like guardian.
Mm-hmm.
So, because okay, that happened in season 3. So this is post Craig's dad passing away.
Yeah.
So yeah, Joey is like straight up his guardian at that point.
Right.
That they did it with like children's aid or whatever they call it on the show, that like he is now like legally in charge of Craig. So I, you know what, I wonder what if like Joey had really known about what was going on.
Yeah, I really wonder. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so she like meets up with Shane in the hallway at one point, and like he literally leads with, "You don't want me to marry you, do you?" I'm like, I think they're like 13 or 14 at this point. So like, I don't even know if that's legal.
Right. Like, can you just, you know, watch the kid when the kid gets here? Can you do that?
I mean, like, you could just like be involved.
That right.
Would be okay. Like, no, we don't have to get married. But that also happens with Claire and Drew later.
Mm-hmm.
Like when, spoiler alert, Drew thinks it's his baby.
Mm.
Like, he's like, well, I guess I can get my job at the kiosk back. I just remember that kiosk job that apparently he made enough money to buy like a motorcycle at. I have no idea what mall kiosk you're working at where you make that much money.
Well, you know, like big ups to Drew of all people trying to be responsible. So
I know. Listen, I love baby. Like little baby Drew. He's such a little himbo.
Yes, he's a himbo. Yes, he is. He's
my favorite character archetype being himbo. Yes. Oh gosh, I love him. So they also have like a lot of stuff where she's like dealing with her emotions and thinking about adoption and abortion, etc. And like, I think that Shane literally tells her that you can't kill a baby, and he said it's alive, it's got rights. And then she says it's just a little mistake, and he says sort of a big mistake, like as though he was not part of this big mistake. One thing,
right?
And two, I made this connection that later on in The Next Generation, they have a restaurant called Little Miss Steaks.
Wow. I love it.
Their little steakhouse where like Holly J and I think Marisol and Casey work there. It's called Little Miss Steaks. And like,
yeah, so they wear like little cowboy outfits.
Yeah, right? I was going to say Marisol and like Holly J have to wear like legit pigtails.
Yes, like, I remember that.
Cowgirl outfits. And I was like, I feel like that might have been a callback because this line feels very iconic. Like,
yes,
it was just a little mistake.
Yes, absolutely.
Degrassi is really good at doing these kind of callback things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a couple of episodes in between, and then I didn't really watch them because I was trying to like mostly get this like the pregnancy plot line.
Yeah.
And these are a little less detailed notes, but there's an episode that is called Egbert. She is going to this like maternity class, and there's like a bunch of pregnant teenage girls, and they're sitting around in a circle, and the lady who is like suggesting, like she's giving them advice on like, do you want to do adoption, do you want to like keep your baby and like be a teen mom, blah blah blah, she like suggests that they do like the take care of an egg for 2 weeks experiment. And Spike takes it so seriously. It's so sweet. She gets it like a little box, and then one of the other girls like draws a face on it, and they're like, this isn't a baby until it has a face. And they draw like the most cartoonish looking face on Egbert, and it's adorable.
The most like Saturday morning TV special, I mean after school special thing they could have done was have like the egg.
I had to do this in middle school. This was part of my home ec class that I took. You had like an egg and you had to take care of it for a week. And I just remember it being one of the weirdest experiences of my life.
Did anybody try to hardboil the egg?
Like, yeah. Oh yeah. Everybody tried to hardboil the egg because you didn't want to drop your egg and have it die. It's like, and yet like I could have just gotten a new egg.
Yep.
I thought about this multiple times.
Yes.
Like this experiment makes no sense for children. Like obviously, like there are probably eggs in their fridge that they could just replace that egg with that they dropped.
Yep, exactly.
But Degrassi does this a lot. Like they have like a couple of later episodes with like those fake babies that like cry all the time. I remember there's like one that I think Danny gives it to JT once he finds out that JT has knocked up his sister.
Yes.
Take care of my baby. This is my grade, but you better take care of this baby.
Right.
He's like, Danny, this is very passive aggressive.
It is.
And then they do it later with Tristan and Miles, but I don't really remember the details on that. Anyways, this is when we first get introduced to this whole concept. There's a girl named Kathleen, though, who literally, like, this is the quote of something that she says that somebody, I think Spike overhears her. It says, like, pregnant girls shouldn't be allowed at Degrassi. Spike should go to a home or something.
Golly. Like,
wow. Was that still a thing in the 80s?
That was definitely still a thing. Like, if the girl was pregnant, like, they didn't want them to go be at the high school during the day. So they had something, maybe like a night school or something like that.
Yeah. So this is like, it's a continuing plot for Spike too, which is sort of like wild that, like, as a next generation viewer, I didn't really know that all of this happened to her. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that she was like a teen mom, but like, I didn't know that, like, she literally does end up getting kicked out of school. Like, they tell her that she can't go to Degrassi anymore because of her pregnancy. Because, like, a parents group literally, like, gets involved and, like, wants to, like, protest the fact that she is, like, at school because they think that it's going to be a bad influence on the other kids.
I don't think, and that's so crazy to me to think, like, as a mother myself, I'm thinking to myself, like, pregnancy wasn't, like, all rainbows and sprinkles, like, so I couldn't imagine, like, dealing with some of the crappy things about pregnancy as a young teenager. Like, I literally just, like, 13-14, you literally just started puberty, like, a couple years ago. Like, I could not imagine having to deal with that at such a young age, and anyone thinking that it's glamorous at some point.
On top of that, like, you're already dealing with this, you already feel, like, embarrassed and, like othered because you are, like, a young, like, she was very young. I think she's in grade 8 at this point. Like, like, she's very young and she already feels, like, very othered by other people. And then, like, these parents get involved and are, like, out here, like, shaming her for, like, just a little mistake.
Right. You know, is she not already, like, ostracized enough by her own peers? Like, do you need to add on to that at all?
Oh, but to backtrack back to Egbert, because it's really just first introduced this girl, Kathleen. I do not like her.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like, there are other episodes where she's not so horrible, but, like, one of my notes is Kathleen is a bitch, yo.
Yeah.
I just, like, could not with her. She lets Shane take care of Egbert one day because he starts to try to, like, talk to her again and, like, wants to be more involved with the pregnancy and he wants to be more involved, like, with the baby when the baby comes. But Shane is, like, totally selfish and, like, sucks at taking care of the egg. So, like, she's like, no, I'm gonna do this on my own. I know that I'm responsible. I don't trust you with my baby, which I think is fair, like, considering that, like, eventually Shane is gonna get high on acid and fall off a bridge.
Right. Yeah.
It's not great. That all happens during junior high. Jesus Christ.
Right.
Like, so, like, that's basically the Egbert plotline, though, is it, like, she's just like, no, I'm doing this on my own. And then there's another episode, it's called Censored, and that's when the parents group wants Spike to no longer be allowed to attend Degrassi because of her pregnancy. And they're saying that she'll set a bad example. And I really enjoyed, there's one character who says, well, seeing her makes me not want to get pregnant.
Thank you. Like, that would be me. I'm like, no.
These teenagers are so much smarter than these adults.
Like, who wants to be sitting in biology and then have, like, morning sickness and have to run out of the classroom? Who wants to do that?
It's like, I don't want to use, like, the phrase, like, cautionary tale, because that seems very, like, heartless, because obviously, like, Spike is a great character and a great person, but, like, I remember feeling that way in high school too. Like, when I would see, like, girls, like, there was a girl who in my middle school got pregnant in the sixth grade. I remember that very clearly. And, like, now in my brain I'm like, what, because I don't know who the father was, but, like, I remember hearing that it was somebody who was older. And I'm like, that girl was groomed.
Yes.
Like, but yes. It was definitely like, for me, I was like, oh, wow, I feel so bad for her. Not like, ooh, now I want to have sex.
Like no.
Literally not the way that like my brain worked.
Right. Because clearly at that point, they want you to think that getting pregnant is a consequence of having sex.
There is a
punishment
in your life where like you go from pregnancy being like like a punishment.
Yeah,
being like, oh yeah, I'm happy for my friends who are pregnant, and it happens right. Around the time you're like 23 or 24,
mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh wait, this is like a good thing,
right? This is supposed to happen. That's what I've been told at this point.
Yeah, because it's literally like your whole like teenage years, you're like, oh wow, you don't want to get pregnant, you don't want to be a teen mom, don't want to be another statistic, which I think is like a terrible way to frame things. Like,
and keeping in mind that like teen pregnancy has actually gone down in the last couple decades. So, you know,
pulled up the statistics for teen pregnancy in the 80s in Canada. So we'll talk about them in a minute. Listen, the best thing about me being a graduate student is that I'm obsessed with researching.
Yeah.
It's literally like my jam. I can't help myself. But yeah, like this girl, Kathleen, is really supportive of this idea that like, you know, Spike should not be allowed at Degrassi because she's pregnant, and like it's super like crappy about it. And I'm just like, why would you? I can't wrap my head around that idea. But I know there were definitely people at my high school who thought that way. So, and that was in, you know, the early aughts.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Spike is forced to leave school. Like, she's not allowed to attend Degrassi. She ends up coming back for like the end of year dance, and then she has Emma prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I like sort of fell off of her storyline with my research in the older episodes, because I was just like, wow, this was absolutely bonkers. I do know that like with Shane, and I did a little bit of research on this, I didn't like actually watch them. Shane does try to like start giving her money like out of his allowance at one point, and this is prior to obviously his accident, I believe. Mm-hmm. And she kind of starts to let him be part of Emma's life a little bit, but like not a lot of it. And then he has his accident.
Right.
And she's like, absolutely not, because he's just too volatile to be around her baby. So here are some of my fun facts that I found out. They actually won an international Emmy.
Yes, I heard that.
For the episode It's Late. And it is actually the inspiration for Emma's name. Emma is named for the Emmy that they won.
Nice, yeah.
And I was like, that is wild. what else? Like, she was one of the first major pregnant females.
So now it's time for us to talk about the only teen mom that we really got to see in the entire new generation.
You know, I always think that is weird, because like Spike being a mom was such a big deal on the first show, and right. There are so many teen pregnancies on The Next Generation and in Next Class, like that it's like only one of them actually became like an active mother,
with the exception of Jenna. But like,
I was gonna say Jenna, yeah.
Yeah, but Jenna eventually gave hers up for adoption. But this one is more of the, as far as we know, it's long term, and even when she left the show, she was still like actively being a mother to her child.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about Mia Jones.
I forgot that was her last name.
Yes, I had to remember. But like, Mia Jones was not my favorite person. I did not care for Mia Jones.
Feel like I did not care for Mia mostly because I was such like a hardcore shipper for JT and Liberty.
Thank you. Okay, good. That's fine.
I don't know that Mia really did anything wrong. No. I just really didn't want her around because I really wanted JT and Liberty to get back together
and figure their stuff out. And it was, look, that's going to be a hard thing to talk about later on.
They were end game for me. I just wanted them to be together. I know that like Ryan Cooley actually like requested like a big send-off when he left the show to like go to college, but like, dang, did they have to kill JT?
Right, that was the worst thing. That was the worst thing.
No, haunts my dreams.
So Mia is the one that came in season 6. She was a recurring character first until they make her a regular for at least 2 seasons.
I think so too.
Yeah. So she comes in, and she came from another school, Lakehurst, what will be a integrate into Degrassi later on, I think, believe in the next season. Mm-hmm. And what I liked about Mia is that, as opposed to other teen shows or as opposed to other American shows that will have an episode, and it's just one episode about teen pregnancy or teen motherhood, it's usually just the one-off episode, and it's usually to further the character development of someone else. Mm-hmm. Usually a guy.
Always a
guy. But like, no, this was part of her storyline, and she was an actual character, and that was it. And like, even with JT, she wasn't there to further JT's storyline. Like, she was her own person.
Yeah.
And we got to see that, even after his death.
At first, I kind of felt like she was almost like wish fulfillment for JT, though, because mm-hmm. like, he didn't want Liberty to give up the baby for adoption.
Right.
And sure. He felt like he had lost this family, like, that he could have had. And then here comes Mia, and she's got a kid who already loves him because, mm-hmm. like, she watched him on TV and whatever his little, like, job on TV was, which was always very unclear to me. I feel like it's a Canadian thing.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this job?
So when we meet Mia, she is a new student, and she's trying to join the Spirit Squad, and she does really well, but then comes to find out she is a teen mom. She has a daughter, Isabella, who she had at like 13.
Oh my God, it's so young.
Right. 13 by, we'll talk about him later, Lucas.
Blech.
Right, that douchebag. And so, of course, we already had Darcy that's been in the show at this point. And Darcy is, of course, is, you know, being Darcy.
My God, like, Darcy.
Right. I think mainly the only one that really had her back was Manny Santos, being the number one friend that she always is.
She always, Manny. Right. Manny is, like, the best friend to everyone. Manny. None of these girls deserved Manny Santos.
None of them do. And just so you guys know now, like, this is a Manny Santos stan account. I don't care.
It really is, though.
What
Manny's my fave.
Manny Santos is that girl. And so, we see her, you know, with her mom. From her mom, we see her being a teen parent, and like, she's pretty much doing it on her own, with the exception of, you know, she's mm-hmm. she's a young teen, so of course she needs her parent.
Yeah, she still lives at home.
She still lives at home. And the thing is, like, with the exception of Darcy and maybe eventually when we get Holly J.
God, Holly J is awful to her.
She is. She doesn't get a lot of slack for being a teen mom, with the exception of Darcy, Holly J, and the douchebags from Lakehurst,
mm-hmm.
Which is where we get some drama between the Lakehurst folks and JT. And so, one of the things that gets her in with JT is the fact that, like, JT at this point is on a kids' TV show, and Isabella, Mia's daughter, watches him on there all the time, and so she loves him, and so they get together and hang out, and I guess it's cute.
I think they're kind of cute. They're like, I rewatched it, like, in the last year or so, and I was, like, trying to confront my anti-Mia bias. Because I'm just, like, this is, just so you all know, this is also a Liberty Van Zant stan account. Yes, I love Liberty. We did not deserve...
We did not.
Liberty. We did not deserve Sarah, the actress who played her, who had the best comedic timing on the entire show.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean... I am of the opinion about Degrassi that, like, most of the girls on the show are better actors than the guys, with a couple of exceptions, mm-hmm. being, like, Jake Epstein as Craig and Monroe Chambers as Eli. But, like, in general, I feel like, especially in the earlier seasons, like, the Next Generation seasons, like, before they rebranded as just Degrassi, like, the girls were just, like, head and shoulders above, like, yes. the boy actors.
Yes.
Including Nina. Nina Dobrev, who yes. is
look before great. She like before Mia went off to Paris, aka Mystic Falls, to get in between some vampire brothers. Yes.
Which I know you watch, but I have never watched.
Oh yes. And
I have so many shows.
Like, yes, I have so many feelings about that. But no, because she
I follow playing... you on Twitter right now.
No, because honestly, Nina Dobrev did a really great job. Like, regardless of how I feel about certain things with Vampire Diaries, like, Nina Dobrev played, like, at least three characters, and she did it really well. You know, it's kind of unfortunate that her career hasn't really popped off since then.
Yeah, I've always thought she was a pretty good actor, so, like, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe she's just sitting on that Vampire Diaries money.
Like, no, they are on Netflix, last I checked, but you know, the thing is that like a lot of the Vampire Diaries actors are reaching right now. They really are. They're struggling.
Oh no.
Because not all of them have really been able to get past that.
It's sad.
It's sad, but you know, what it is. So
yeah, we got off on a tangent there.
We will. But we don't see a lot of Isabella throughout her time. Like, we just know that she's there. We just know that Mia has a daughter, and we will occasionally see her. So we see more of Isabella when Lucas Valieri, who is Isabella's dad, comes into the picture. Mm-hmm. This is when we get to meet Jane.
He's also Jane's brother.
Yeah, so that's when Lakehurst this is after the death of JT, and I think shortly after that, like, Lakehurst burnt down. There's mm-hmm. a fire.
Yeah, so, it's a school burned down. Yeah. So they have to go to the exact school where they had a literal like
gang
fucking war. Like what?
Right.
Okay. Great planning, City of Toronto.
Thank you.
Sorry, Toronto. Toronto.
And so with Lakehurst crew coming in, we get Holly J, who's, you know, calling her mom and Mia and is being real
we have
it.
To admit that that's a pretty clever nickname.
That was pretty clever. I mean, whoever thought of that, like, you were right on the money. Like, you didn't waste
hilarious.
An opportunity.
Hilarious.
That was not an opportunity wasted. And so, of course, Lucas is there. And so we see Lucas, who had really abandoned Mia when she was first pregnant and was not involved, now is wanting to be involved. And so, like, he's trying to hang out with Mia and, like, giving her money, buying toys for the baby. And, you know, at first, Mia's just like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think she was trying to date a new guy, but he's, like, he ruined
that. Yeah, it was, like, some blonde guy that she, like, was, like, going to, like, the Spirit Squad dance. And, like, she was helping out with that and trying to prove that she could have a baby and also, like, be on the Spirit Squad and be involved.
She can have it all. She could be a modern woman and have it all.
Listen, Mia can.
As far as I know, when she left, she did, because we all know that she left to become a model in Paris. And
yes.
be a mother. You know what? As far as I know, she's a modern woman and she's doing it all.
That's as far as we know, she's just out there, like, living in Europe, having a great life. She probably sent little Isabella to private school.
Right, like, there's nothing that's been told to tell me differently. So, but it ends up finding out that, like, you know, Lucas was really only doing that to get closer to Mia. He wasn't really caring about the baby. He wanted to get back at her pants again. Mm-hmm. Which, like, dude, come on.
Like, dude, like, you really messed up.
Right.
And don't use the kid. Like, that's...
I don't understand. Like, why would you do that?
Why would Lucas do any of the things that Lucas does on this show?
Lucas was an ass through and through.
Completely. Like, and he also had that hair.
Mm-hmm. But, like, the thing was, she stays with him for a little while. She still dates him, and I'm like, why would you do that?
I feel like it was, like, after JT died, like, Mia was kind of, like, adrift when it came to, like, dating, and, like, I'm sure it's very hard, like, as a teen mother to, like,
right.
date guys, and, like, with JT, it was, like, he, like I said, I think it was wish fulfillment for him, because he felt like he had lost a family.
Right.
So he was like, oh, wait, I have a built-in family with this girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, with Lucas, it was probably, like, well, it's his kid, too, so, like, makes sense for me to date him. Like, except that he's garbage.
Right. And also because when JT passed away, like at his little memorial service, like she did find out that like he was going to break up with her to get back with Liberty. So like,
yeah, the whole oatmeal meatball sub thing, yeah, which is the weirdest metaphor
ever.
Like, Liberty is not oatmeal.
You know that. You know what? It's okay though, because you can't knock oatmeal.
Yeah, that is true. I do like oatmeal.
I love oatmeal because
it's always there for you. It's dependable.
It's there for you, and it's always filling. Mm-hmm. And like,
and when you're broke and you don't want to like, don't got any like bacon in the fridge, like you're like, oh wait, I can make some oatmeal for breakfast, and this is great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, she did find that out. There, that stuff was so sad to me. Mm-hmm. Like after JT's death, the way that like Liberty and Mia would like, they were like sort of bashing heads a little bit. It was just really sad because like, obviously I sided more with Liberty.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
I feel like that's just like my emotional attachment to the character, though.
And then, you know, at some point, I think Lucas gets into trouble to where like, you know, his sister, we meet Jane around this time too. Like Jane, mm-hmm, is like, Mia, like, you really should not get involved with him. My brother's trash. Don't leave your daughter with him.
I love how they like write that in too, that they're like brother and sister, like all of a sudden, because Jane's name is like Jane Vaughn.
Yes.
And then like she randomly one day tells Darcy, like as a secret, oh yeah, that jerk wad over there is my brother. I changed my name. Like, I'm like, as a teenager?
I don't know.
Like, but legally?
How did we see him past season 7?
No, he kind of like disappears. Right. Like after a while, like they sort of like write him away after they break up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine with me because I didn't like him very much. No, I think we do. Are they still together when we have the Jane Says episodes? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember.
I don't know.
Because we do see him in those episodes, and we actually see him being more involved in Isabella's life.
It might be around that time. I think there's a point where like they were having a party and Isabella was there, and like, yeah, please pop in.
Yeah,
and like that's where things kind of come to a head where like Lucas like denies that Isabella's his daughter.
Oh yeah, he like straight up is like, yeah, that's her kid. Mm-hmm. Like he's not like, that is our child. He's like, right, that's her child.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons why Mia was okay with it was because, not okay with it, but like okay with being with Lucas at the time, was, you know, you're a teen mother and like you, the father of your child, is attempting to be involved and attempting to want to be with you. And I guess, you know, you're young. She's young.
I mean, like, life would just be easier if her dad was involved.
Yeah.
Like, it would just be a lot easier for Mia, mm-hmm, in general, to have a partner who is actually contributing to the life of her child.
Right. You would hope that would be the case.
I actually think he made it worse.
Like, yes, absolutely. And so, of course, now we get later on. Season 8. The Spirit Squad's no longer the Spirit Squad anymore. It's the Power Squad. And now Holly J is the...
They rebrand leader. That thing.
Yeah. And so they had to go through a rebranding. And so now Holly J is giving her crap, of course.
This was when Holly J was like still straight up evil. Yes. Like, Holly J arrived at Degrassi and was just like, I am evil and I will ruin you.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow became one of my favorite characters.
Yes, I think there's a lot of growth towards the end of her time there.
Yeah, but she was mean.
Yes, she was. And so and you still see a little bit of Isabella, and then like that's kind of like her thing. You know, Holly J doesn't want her on the Power Squad. I'm sorry, not the Spirit
Squad.
The Power Squad.
And this is when they get those awful sequin uniforms. Yes. What was going on?
But then also around this time in the season, like, she becomes a model and starts dating Peter, and like I think that's where you start seeing less of Isabella.
Yeah,
I really don't remember like very many scenes of like Isabella with Peter and Mia.
There really aren't a ton of them. Like, I feel like Isabella comes up a little bit with Peter and his sister. And like, because like his dad starts like leaving his baby sister with him all the time, and he's like, it's not my kid, I don't want to take care of it,
right?
And like it her but like, and then like, you know, like Mia's just like, well, I have a kid,
right?
It's not your kid. If you want to be with me. she's kind of part of the deal.
But you know, the I think the thing with Mia is that, yes, she's a teen mom, but it doesn't completely define her.
Yeah,
you see her, you know, still doing the things she wants to do, eventually getting the modeling gig, doing so well to the point where she ends up moving to Paris. I think she was like in that band with Peter for like a smidgen for some reason. I don't know why.
What were they? The Stoods.
Yes.
This is the Stoods.
And then like when they go like the Degrassi that goes Hollywood or does Hollywood, you can see her.
Oh yeah, like she does. She goes on the road trip with them.
Yes.
Like, and she's like sitting out there playing the tambourine and like apparently can hotwire a bus at one point. Right. I was like, what? What? But I kind of think she's cute with Peter. Really hated Peter when he first arrived.
He was less of a douchebag, but like, I've never forgiven Peter.
Well, Manny Santos stand account.
Thank you. I've never forgiven Peter for what he did to Manny.
Mm-mm.
And I have not forgiven Emma for dating Peter afterwards.
Listen, this is part of why, like, this will be a tangent. This is part of why I don't think Emma ever deserved Manny. Like, Manny literally saved her life in the pilot episode. Like, Manny was the one who was like, I don't think she's really at home watching a documentary. I think she might be meeting up with this Jordan guy. And like, she's the one who calls JT and Dobie and is like, wait, we gotta figure out where this bitch is at.
Look, regardless of how messy Manny is, she at least be a friend to you. Okay?
Listen, Manny, up for you. Like, Manny saved her. Right. She saved her life. She also saved Darcy's life, who later like calls her a slut. Right. And it's just like, Darcy, I'm gonna need you to take your little helmet ass hair away from her, because I'm not about this. Manny was there for you. You tried to kill yourself in a shower, and Manny is the one who found you and saved your life. So like, I'm gonna need you to not call her a slut.
Right. You know, look, that's another thing. Because we'll have to talk about like the whole slut shaming stuff, because
that'll be a whole episode.
That has to be a whole episode, because that has to be a thing. So back to Mia. So So Mia gets a job in Paris, and eventually she breaks up with Peter. So as far as we know, Mia's in Paris being a fashion model and a mother, and that's like literally the
She just kind of like gets written off of the show.
Yeah,
like, I mean, obviously she left for like better career opportunities, Nina Dobrev, but like, it is very strange. Like, poor Peter, like, first Darcy gets written off the show and to just disappear to Kenya for forever, and then his next girlfriend is Mia, and they get together in the weirdest way possible, but like, then she just gets written off of the show, and I'm like, Peter can't keep a girl around. He just can't. They have to leave to go to a foreign country to get away from Peter.
Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a lot of, like, I'm looking at it right now. You know, I like to do my little wiki exploring, but, like, Mia was, even though she was a series regular in season 7, she was only in, like, 6 episodes.
That's crazy. Wow. Like, she was in the opening sequence, too, because I think she was, anyways. Like, because I sort of remember her being like on the clap, clap, punch in the air, whatever it takes, with the power squad.
Yes. So, but I think like she was really only in like 35 episodes during her time.
Yeah, she is a smaller character than like, say, like Manny or Emma or.
Right.
Even like Paige.
Right.
Who is my girl? I love Paige so much.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah. So that's it on our teen mothers segment. So next thing is hindsight is 2020, or in this case 30. So looking back at these storylines as an adult, what are your thoughts? Like, how do you, like, do you think they did a good job with this?
I think they're like, and maybe it's different in Canada. Maybe people are just generally more progressive in Canada.
Sometimes I feel that way.
I mean, like, because I feel like both of these plots are pretty progressive plots.
Right.
Like, especially, like, considering the stuff with, like, Spike, because that was, like, in the 80s.
Right.
And, it, yeah, she does, like, face, like, backlash from the, like, community, but, like, we do see, like, her mom being super supportive, and so we also see, like, Mia's mom being super supportive of her.
Right, yeah.
Like, I mean, she definitely holds Mia to, like, a standard of, like, no, like, you can't do everything because you are a mother, mm-hmm. and, like, that was a choice that you made. And you are going to have to live with this choice, right. Which I actually think was pretty good. Like, I think that Degrassi handled this a lot better than, like, say, I'm thinking of, like, a contemporary American show, which was, like, Secret Life of the American Teenager, but, which it was, I don't even feel like that's really, that was more, oh, sorry, and I'll be babbling right here.
I'm thinking about, like, that show right there, it was.
That show was a hot mess, for
it
one
was
thing.
A hot mess.
I kind of want to go back and rewatch that. I haven't watched that since it was airing, and I believe that we were in college when it first aired.
Oh, it definitely was.
Because we have the guy who's, like, her boyfriend, not, like, the baby daddy, on Secret Life of the American Teenager. I always thought he looked like Zach.
Yes.
From the music. And we there's literally, like, a video that I posted on his Facebook timeline of, like, me and my sister being like, oh my god, Zach, you're famous. You're on this show, Secret Life of the American Teenager. So I would not have known Zach before college.
So. I don't know, there's for me, there is a bit of a sophistication that Degrassi took with the storylines that, like, a show like Secret Life of American Teenager did not do. And it, like, it was so inflammatory, I feel like, for Secret Life, as opposed to just, like,
this is a reality.
Yeah. I need you to shut my door, sweetie. I love you too. Can you shut my door, please? Thank you. Thank you so much. But yes, so
speaking of parenthood.
But, like, that right there, I'm thinking, like, with Mia, it's just with Mia, even though she really wasn't on the show that much. Like, it was still, when she was on the show, it was her. It was her, and it wasn't just, like,
she's not, like, defined by being a teen mom.
Right.
Which is, like, so it's, like, a more nuanced plot line in a way that, like, I find that when I talk about Degrassi to people, I'm like, there are certain things that they do better than others. Oh, yeah. I think they write, like, teen pregnancy plots very well in general. Like, because we'll talk again on another episode about the abortion plot lines and the adoption plot lines, which I think are both, like, very well done. And, like, I wish that, like, we got more of Manny's storyline, but I understand why it had to exist, like, as a separate, like, episode, because it was banned in the U.S.
Right. I wish that because in hindsight, that was something that would not be just swept under the rug and forgotten about.
Oh, no.
Like, you can kind of see, like, how that affected her reputation.
Oh, yeah. Still, I feel like they don't necessarily, like, shy away from it, but they never, like, specifically, like, say, oh, because that she had an abortion or that she was pregnant. But, like, it's, like, sort of that stuff, like, when you rewatch it again, because I remember, like, not knowing about it as a kid when I first watched the show. I, like, did not know Manny had an abortion.
Right.
But, like,
and it would have been something that should have been brought up, like, the next time that her and Craig got together, or, like, they reunited.
They were pregnant at one point.
Yeah, like, that should have been, like, something that could have been a discussion. But, you know, but,
That's the early aughts in America for you.
Yeah.
Like, very anti-abortion. But I think they did a great job with both Spike and with Mia. Because I like that we get to see Spike be successful.
Yes. And Mia is successful too. So like the only other one that I can really think that had like a recurring character was One Tree Hill. And it wasn't a girl, it was a teen dad. But I can't remember his name. But
I've never watched One Tree Hill. Don't tell Chase since he was on like 4 episodes.
Shout out to Chase.
Shout out to my old roommate Chase.
but like there was a character that was on the basketball team on One Tree Hill, but he had a young daughter, and one of the main characters, Peyton, they have a relationship, and so it's more of he was on for a while, and like she got this, the main character got attached to him and his daughter, but like it was clearly for the character development of that main female character.
Of the main character, yeah.
As opposed to just like, this is a separate character and this is what's going on with your life. There's very little about that that's like solely for this character. So I think they did a good job of like introducing these characters, introducing these circumstances, and it being like a real part of their storyline and real part of the Degrassiverse.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And I actually, like, the only thing about Mia that I think is, like, really weird is the modeling line. Because I'm just, like, and not that she's not a beautiful girl, but it just because that's around the time when, like, Degrassi sort of, like, really started, like, moving away from being, like, an after-school special type show to really being, like, a teen drama, teen soap kind of situation. So, like, it does make sense to have, like, this sort of fantastical plot for her. But, like, it was a little wild to me when it first started happening because I didn't remember watching it, like, as a kid. So when I was rewatching at the beginning of quarantine and, like, they're just like, yeah, you know, Mia, she's, like, gonna be a model now. She's gonna be the new T-Bombs girl. Right. I was like, are they aware that she's a child?
And I think that's probably like when they started focusing less on like the middle school crowd, because
the middle school like very much like disappears like as we move our original main characters out of it, because I remember them being like a plot line where like they're mad that it's now Degrassi Community School because they don't get to like go to a high school. Like I remember Jimmy like whining about it at one point. But like
Jimmy and Spinner and actually they were like eighth graders that first season.
They were eighth graders in the first season. That was our like Jimmy, Spinner, Paige, Ashley, Hazel. Was Hazel even in the first season?
Yep, she was.
Okay. Listen. It's like, I can't remember if she came on in season two or if she was, but they just gave her nothing to do.
Right. She didn't do much in season one. Like, you see more of her in season
two. They barely gave her anything to do at all, ever.
Look, that's a whole other conversation, too.
That is a conversation.
But like, I think by the time Mia joins us, it's truly like, these are all high schoolers. I think by that point they're really focusing on replenishing that grade 9. So it can
The new characters would always be in grade 9. So it'd be more of a teen drama than like, oh, look at these little eighth graders, and the eighth graders are the oldest characters on the show, and like their problems are like Ashley is running for school president.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Ashley.
And you know, they still have those moments in there, but I think you can just see like they're still tastefully doing teen issues. So, and that's the main thing you'll probably see throughout our show is that like we're pretty much gonna be like, Degrassi did this a lot better than some of these American shows.
But they really did, and they did it before these American shows did.
They really did, and that's why like, you know, Degrassi for us is very top tier. So I think that's gonna be it for today, for our first episode.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it. Right. I love to talk about Degrassi.
Yes. So this is our first episode. So we want to thank you guys for listening to our very first episode of Going There with Degrassi.
Thank you guys.
Yes. And you can follow us on Twitter at GTW Degrassi on Twitter. And eventually we might get some more social media accounts, but you can always follow us on there, and then you can find us on anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, your any of your favorite podcast streaming sites. So, yeah. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, Panthers.